Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio, and it's time for a week two edition of No Huddle Offense.
Touchdowns, sacks, upsets, and last-minute heroics. Another NFL Sunday is in the books, and we've got you covered with the biggest plays and sound bites from another wild week in the National Football League. It's time for No Huddle Offense on the Zach Gelb Show.
We start with Falcons and Packers. The Packers took a 24-12 lead into the fourth quarter, and Atlanta finished the game with 13 unanswered. There was a controversial decision here with a little over 2 minutes to go, fourth and inches. Arthur Smith elected to go for it, tossed it to Bijan Robinson. He got 7 yards and a first down. I thought they should have taken the field goal, but then later on in that drive, they did get the Younghoe Koo 25-yard field goal to give Atlanta a 25-24 lead with 57 seconds left in the game. Turned out to be the game winner. Here's Wes Durham on the Falcons Radio Network.
Younghoe for the lead. Snap, spot. Kick is up, and it is perfect. And Atlanta's in front with 57 seconds left.
Bijan Robinson, 19 carries, 124 yards on the ground. Drake London did find the end zone at 6 catches for 67 yards. Desmond Ridder, 19 of 32 for 237 yards, a touchdown and a pick. Also had 10 rushes for 39 yards and a rushing score. Jordan Love played well, 14 of 25, 151 yards, and not one, not two, but three passing touchdowns. Our next stop, we go to Buffalo. Bills fans were looking to shout, and early on in the game, the Raiders started off with a statement. Davante Adams scored a touchdown right out of the gate, but that was pretty much all the life the Raiders did have. Davante Adams did leave the game with an injury late in the fourth quarter. Bills end up winning the game 38-10. Here is a Gabe Davis 2-yard touchdown reception to really put the game out of reach, 28-10 in the third quarter. Here's Chris Brown on the Bills Radio Network.
There's the snap. Has time. Going to roll out to his right. Max Crosby in pursuit. Back across the field. Complete to Gabe Davis for the touchdown. Fourth and goal. And it's a 2-yard touchdown reception by Gabe Davis in traffic. Mercy.
Gabe Davis, 6 catches for 92 yards and that score. Josh Allen bounced back, 31 of 37, 274 yards and 3 touchdowns, following his 3-pick performance up against the Jets. And I think the most important statistic from this game, he only ran the ball 3 times. James Cook, 17 carries for 123 yards. On the flip side for the Raiders, Jimmy Garoppolo, 16 of 24, 185 yards, a touchdown and 2 interceptions. Davante Adams, we told you about that opening drive touchdown. He had 6 catches for 84 yards and that score. Ravens and Bengals in the jungle. Bengals trying to bounce back from their week one blowout loss to the Browns. Not the case. Joe Burrow re-aggravated that calf injury later on in the game. Ravens win 27-24 without 2 of their starting offensive linemen. J.K. Dobbins done for the year. A bunch of injuries in the secondary. And how about this name? I didn't even know he was on the Ravens. Nelson Aguilar. He caught something. It was a 17-yard touchdown snag to make it 27-17 in the fourth quarter. Here's Jerry with a G, Jerry Sandusky, on the Ravens Radio Network.
It's 3rd down and 5 at the Cincinnati 17. Lamar wants to throw. Lobs it far side, end zone. Touchdown, Ravens! Nelson Aguilar, a brilliant over-the-shoulder grab, and the Ravens extend the lead again.
How about Nelly Nelson Aguilar? 5 catches for 63 yards and that score. Lamar Jackson, 24 of 33 for 237 yards and 2 passing touchdowns. Odell Beckham Jr. did leave the game with an ankle injury in the second half. He had 3 catches for 29 yards before his exit. And Joe Burrow and the Bengals offense, slow starting, 27 of 41, 222 yards, passing 2 touchdowns and a pick. Remember, last week only had 82 passing yards. Jamar Chase held out of the end zone for the second week in a row. T. Higgins, though, who did nothing last week, had 8 catches for 89 yards and 2 touchdowns. Seahawks and Lions back and forth on a seesaw battle between these two teams. Tyler Lockett, the most underrated wide receiver in the NFL. He's the new Keenan Allen, where we always say he's the most underrated wide receiver in the NFL. Lockett had 2 touchdowns. This one was the game winner in overtime. Steve Rabel, walk it off on the Seahawks Radio Network.
Geno is looking. Now he throws far side. It's Lockett. Does he reach the ball across? He does.
Yeah.
It's over, baby. Touchdown, Seahawks.
Holy catfish indeed. Geno Smith, 32 of 41 for 328 yards and 2 touchdowns. Kenneth Walker, have yourself a day. 2 rushing touchdowns on 43 yards. Tyler Lockett, 8 catches, 59 yards, and those 2 scores. And Jared Goff, 28 of 35, 323 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a pick. If you probably told me he'd have those numbers before the game, I would have thought that the Lions would have won the game, but not the case here. Lions fall to 1-1. Seahawks improve to 1-1. A battle of 0-1 teams. And now the Tennessee Titans are 1-1. The Chargers are 0-2. Chargers lose the game in overtime. Here is the game-winning Nick Folk 41-yard field goal to win the game. This is Mike Keith on the Titans Radio Network.
Morgan Cox to snap. Ryan Stonehouse to hold. And the kick.
Good! Yes! Yes!
The redemption of Ryan Tannehill.
So that is Mike Keith. Who's the coach again? Dave McGinnis, right? Oh, I love the screaming going on in the background. And Hickey told me that that's the 23rd win for the Titans as an underdog since 2018. And that's the most in the NFL. What a statistic that is. Keenan Allen, 8 catches for 111 yards and 2 touchdowns for the Chargers. Justin Herbert, 27 of 41, 305 yards and 2 touchdowns. But the Tennessee Titans, Derrick Henry, 25 carries for 80 yards and a score. Ryan Tannehill bounced back from that miserable performance last week. 20 of 24, 246 yards, and a passing touchdown. Bucks, Bears, fire the cannons. Mike Evans, first 9 years in the league, over 1,000 yards receiving, now in year 10. And Mike Evans had himself a day. 6 catches for 171 yards and a score. Here is the 32-yard TD snag to make it 20-10 in the third quarter.
Fire the cannons. Here's Gene Deckeroff on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Empty backfield. Mayfield takes a low snap. Looks upfield. Throws a fade route toward the sideline, toward the end zone. Caught ball. Caught ball. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Mike Evans with another huge grab. Fire the cannons. The Bucs score a TD.
Fire the cannons. Fire the cannons.
Love that from Gene Deckeroff, the longtime Buccaneers play-by-play man. Baker Mayfield. Little Baker believer I am. 26 of 34. For 317 yards and a touchdown. Programming note, Levante David will join us tomorrow on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Justin Fields, on the other hand, ugly performance. 16 of 29, 211 yards, 2 total touchdowns, and also had 2 interceptions. DJ Moore, in his second game as a member of the Bears, had 6 catches for 104 yards. And this is the first 2-0 start for Baker Mayfield in his career. And an NFL record, the Bears have now lost 12 games in a row going back to last year and have allowed 25 points in each game. Man, that's really ugly there, Hickey. How is that an NFL record, though?
No team's ever lost 12 straight games and allowed 25 or more points in every game.
Oh, combined. I was going to say, we've had teams that haven't won a game in an entire season.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Chiefs and Jaguars. I was disappointed with the Jaguars' offensive performance. I love Brandon McManus, former college classmate of mine, but he shouldn't be the guy that is the only scoring for the Jags. They've had 3 field goals in the game. Chiefs win 17-9. Travis Kelce, a 9-yard touchdown reception to make it 14-6 in the third quarter. Let's listen up to a little Ian Eagle on CBS.
Kelce, the motion man, low snap. Mahomes, moving pocket. Mahomes floats it up. Caught! Touchdown, Travis Kelce! Kelce finds a blank space for the score.
And if you don't get the reference, that's a Taylor Swift song. And supposedly, right, Hickey, the kids are saying that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are quietly romantic, right?
Get you a man who could do both, Ryan Eagle. Guy knows all the sports and knows all the dating rumors and fits lyrics in left and right seamlessly.
And claims he isn't on Twitter. He may have a burner account, but there's no public Ryan Eagle account as well.
He somehow stays up to all the rumors and news.
Do you think that they are seeing each other, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift?
I'm going to say yes, because I think the rumors are strong enough to where if it was not the case, one side, probably Taylor's side, would have refuted it.
I was going to say, because if there was rumors that Zach Gelb was dating Taylor Swift and they weren't true, I would not be getting out there and saying, guys, it's not true, nothing to see here. No. I'd be waiting for Taylor to make comment. And also, I don't know if you heard this, on Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime, they asked his brother, Jason Kelce, about it, and he didn't say no. He like kind of just didn't touch it, but he did not say no. Going back to the game, Mahomes, 29-41, 305 yards, two touchdowns and a pick. Sky Moore, three catches for 70 yards and a touchdown. Travis Kelce, who may or may not be dating Taylor Swift, four catches for 26 yards. Better get those yards up, Travis. But did get in the end zone, so he was scoring. And Trevor Lawrence, bad day. 22 of 41, 216 yards and a fumble. Christian Kirk, though, did have 11 catches for 110 yards. Colts, Texans, Anthony Richardson made a strong impression before leaving the game with a concussion. He had two rushing touchdowns. Let's listen up to a 15-yard scamper, his second of the day, to make it 14-0 in the first quarter. Here's Matt Taylor on the Colts Radio Network.
And they take over at the Houston 15-yard line. And running right side is Anthony Richardson. Fake the reverse. Turns the corner. He's in. Touchdown. Touchdown. INDY. Three rushing touchdowns in the first two games for Anthony Richardson.
I think Matt Taylor's a newer broadcaster, right? He's been doing the games for like 3-4 years. I know the Colts had that whole disgusting controversy, which their old play-by-play voice got fired from, which was deserved. Matt Taylor's been doing the games for how many years around, Tiki?
I think he had 3 or 4. I think it was 2020, I believe. So this is year 4.
So that's not the first time. Well, this would be year 3 or year 4?
Then you start in 2020.
Oh, gotcha. That's not the first time I've heard the touchdown INDY. Do you like it?
I don't mind it. Yeah,
I know you like the touchdown, but I don't think that's a great call.
It rhymes. Touchdown INDY. Different. I don't hate it. Could be worse.
I would come up with a new shtick if I was Matt Taylor. But Anthony Richardson was 6-10 for 56 yards, 35 yards rushing, and 2 touchdowns. Did leave the game after 3 drives because of concussion. And Gardner Minshew with the mustache did a nice job. 19 of 23, 171 yards and a touchdown. Zach Moss, 18 carries for 88 yards and a touchdown. CJ Stroud threw the ball a lot, even with that shoulder injury. Was 30 of 47 for 384 yards and 2 touchdowns. And a Michigan man, Nico Collins, who's been on this show before, 7 catches for 146 yards and a score. Next stop, SoFi Stadium, which is the Rams stadium, but it looked like it was a 49ers home game. And my BFF, Deebo Samuel. This was originally ruled a receiving touchdown. Then it turned into an 11-yard rushing touchdown to make it 27-17 in the fourth quarter. Here's one of the best play-by-play guys in the NFL, Greg Papa, on the 49ers radio network.
30 under center, backpedals, throws for Deebo back in the game. Jennings never made the block, but Deebo breaks a tackle. Deebo takes it all the way out to the goal line. Touchdown, San Francisco!
That's a great touchdown call there by the legendary Greg Papa. Brock Purdy rocking out with his Brock out, looking pretty awesome. 17-25, 206 yards and a rushing touchdown. The offensive player of the year, or the guy who will be the offensive player of the year in the NFL, Run CMC, Christian McCaffrey, 135 total yards and a score. And my BFF, Deebo Samuel, that touchdown, 101 total yards in the game. Matthew Stafford looked good. 34-55 for 307 yards, a touchdown and 2 picks. But without Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua has become a star. What a statement that is. I never thought I'd be saying that. 15 catches for 147 yards. 25 catches are the most catches through a player's first 2 games in NFL history. And Puka Nacua is the first player in NFL history with at least 10 catches and 100 yards in each of their first 2 games. The 49ers' 9th straight regular season win over the Rams. Giants, Cardinals. Was a slow start in the desert for Big Blue. They had a 21-point comeback. It's tied for the largest in Giants history since 1949 is the other time it happened. Daniel Jones, 26 of 37, 321 yards, two touchdowns. Also had nine carries for 59 yards, an additional rushing touchdown. His second half stats, he was just 17 of 21 for 317 total yards and three touchdowns. Jalen Hyatt out of Tennessee, two catches for 89 yards. And Joshua Dobbs continues to be efficient, 21 of 31 for the Cardinals, 228 yards and one touchdown. Let's listen up to Graham Gano with a 34-yard field goal to give the Giants a 31-28 lead with 19 seconds remaining. This is Bob Papa on the Giants Radio Network.
Gano is set. Snap is good. Kick on its way. Plenty of length, and it is good. Graham Gano hits from 34 yards out, and with 19 seconds to go in the game, the Giants lead it 31-28.
So the Giants, after getting blown out by the Cowboys last week, come from behind to defeat the Cardinals. Cowboys-Jets, all Cowboys in this one. Luke Schoonmaker, a one-yard touchdown reception to make it 18-7. What a weird score in the second quarter. This is Brad Sham on the Cowboys Radio Network.
First and goal at the one, straight eye formation. Play fake, looking right, left, throws it in the end zone, caught. Flag is down. This is the first professional catch and touchdown for Luke Schoonmaker.
And in the game, Dak Prescott, 31-38, 255 yards and two touchdowns. CeeDee Lamb, 11 catches for 143 yards. Micah Parsons, whew, that's a bad man. Two sacks, three tackles for loss, and one forced fumble. Zach Wilson was 12 of 27 for 170 yards, one touchdown, had three interceptions, but doesn't read as bad as he played. Garrett Wilson, two catches for 83 yards and a touchdown. The reason I paused before giving you the stats is I'm seeing that Nick Chubb has been injured. And according to Dr. David Chow, he has a left knee with multiple ligament dislocation type of injury. So we'll see what happens there. But that's the early word from Dr. David Chow. That would be just miserable with how great of a player Nick Chubb is. Let's go to Mile High. Back and forth between the Commanders and Broncos. And this was a game that the Broncos once led 21-3. They end up losing the game 35-33. Russell Wilson, though, at the end of the game, had a 50-yard Hail Mary touchdown to Brandon Johnson. You'll hear from Dave Logan on the Broncos Radio Network. And then you'll hear the Commanders Radio Network on the failed two-point conversion to lose the game where I thought it was pass interference.
Russell in the pocket now bounces around, sets and throws the ball up in the air. It's going to be short. The ball deflected. The ball deflected and caught. Touchdown, Denver, Brandon Johnson. Oh, my word.
Ball is set at the two. A 50-yard Hail Mary touchdown. Gives them a chance. Pirine in the backfield with Russ. Snap. Play action. Steps up, throws towards the end zone, towards Cortland Sutton. Incomplete. Broken up by Benjamin St. Juice. No flags. Game over. Washington wins 35-33.
Brand new, a flag should have been called. When you scream, I know that's a traditional play-by-play broadcast. You look, no flags, no flags. But how quickly he did that, and then the color analyst who's laughing in the background, I think they both knew there, Hickey, that the Commanders maybe got away with one.
Caught a break.
That organization deserves to catch a break with all that those fans have had to suffer through with that old owner who was a pig, let's just say.
Not wrong. Not wrong about that.
So when you were watching that, and you've been a big backer of the Broncos, that was after the Colts game. So that's in the 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern time window, I'm pretty sure.
Yes,
if memory serves me right. So you're doing the pod probably?
Oh, no. Pod was done.
Pod was done.
Done. Feet up, lounging, watching.
Give me the Hickey reaction when you had the Russell Wilson Hail Mary pass, because that's your guy, Russ.
You know how sad it is? Nothing. They played so bad in that second half, and I was watching. I'm like, you know what? That's one of those where even if they get this, even if they get the two-point conversion and win the game, it was still so ugly that it's just like the disgust from up 21-3 to what I watched mostly afterwards, because unfortunately, coincidence or not, I'm recording the pod as Russ is throwing dimes. It's over. I'm watching.
You didn't
not
get
very
to enjoy
good.
It.
No. So there's no reaction.
Sucka.
Then after the no flag, it's like, well, kind of deserved it.
All right, Dolphins and Patriots. Somehow this was a 7-point game, 24-17, and the Patriots had a chance to tie the game late, but then the referees don't like fat guys, so they reversed it and said that Cole Strange didn't get the first down. But Raheem Mostert had a big run of 43 yards, and he found the end zone to make it 24-10 in the fourth quarter. This is Ryan Racky on Westwood One.
Hand off to Mostert on first down. Cuts left across the 35-30. Mostert is gone all the way to the end zone. Touchdown, Miami. Raheem Mostert with a 43-yard touchdown run. And just like that, the Dolphins have taken a 23-10 lead.
Raheem Mostert basically says, Dalvin Cook, who? 18 carries for 121 yards and two touchdowns. Tua Tagovailoa had a pick to Christian Gonzalez, but was 21 of 30 for 249 yards and a score. Jaylen Waddle, four catches for 86 yards. Mac Jones, 31 of 42 for 231 yards, a touchdown and a bad pick. Tua is 5-0 in his career up against the Pats. And Hickey, this was nice of you. You gave me a little pick-me-up stat here. This is the first 0-2 start for the Patriots since 2001. Do you know what happened in 2001?
They won the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, with some guy named Tom Brady. So maybe there's a little hope for the Patriots.
Not well,
so
Tom much. Brady's walking through that door anytime soon. He's in the door last week, I guess, technically. In his old 12 jersey. Ringing the bell. Which, by the way, look.
Lighthouse.
That's a sick scoreboard.
It is.
That is great job to Robert Kraft and Co. Great design.
Here's the thing, though. I don't want to be known as the team that has the sick scoreboard and the cool pregame ritual and the team that is now the moral victory team. That's not me. That's a no for me, dog.
That's what you got right now.
That's reality. I'm not like you who tries to puff up a team when I know they're going to be bad. I told you this team was going to stink.
But hey, would you rather have a bad team and no scoreboard versus a bad team versus a good scoreboard?
Here's what I want with the Patriots. I want the Patriots to lose as many games as possible this year. Because you know Belichick will find a way to get them to 7 or 8 wins or something like that. I don't want them to be in no man's land. If they're not going to make the playoffs, if they're going to be bad, get a top 5 pick in the draft. So you can get one of these explosive quarterbacks next year, and you actually have an offensive coordinator in place, but then go get them some weapons. That's what I want to have happen.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
You did it, along with millions of people who prioritized their health and got vaccinated against COVID-19 to help protect against severe illness and hospitalization, too. Now, let's keep it up.
Keep it up!
With this season's updated COVID-19 shot designed to help protect against recent variants. According to the CDC, you can get a COVID shot at the same visit as your flu shot if you're due for both. Ask your doctor or pharmacist to learn more and schedule on the CDC's vaccines.gov.
Keep it up!
Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All right, it is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So unfortunate. It was a bad hit. There's no doubt about it. And a dirty hit in the Colorado-Colorado State game now. people reaching out to the Colorado State player and wishing ill will to him and threatening him and his family is just absolutely ridiculous. But it does stink that now Travis Hunter is, according to Coach Prime, going to miss 3 games. And I believe the injury is a lacerated liver, which, Hickey, when I saw that hit, I thought concussion, right? With how Travis Hunter goes down is so entertaining. And it just reminds you how violent this sport is, where when you think of an injury that could occur, no one's thinking about a lacerated liver, but that's the impact, the high impact and the collision type of sport that this is. But man, what a brutal injury and what a terrible thing for not only Travis Hunter, but for college football fans. When you have a guy who's so entertaining, who is someone that plays elite at wide receiver and elite in the secondary, and right before this schedule really starts to get good after getting a great appetizer, when you got Oregon going to Eugene, when you have Colorado going to Eugene to go up against Oregon, and then the next week you have a game that's just going to be points, 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 and more points. I'll bet the over on it now between USC with Caleb Williams and Shedeur Sanders with Colorado and the Buffaloes. Just very unfortunate whenever an injury occurs, but especially the timing of this one with Travis Hunter.
Like you said, it's one thing to miss Colorado State, no disrespect to them, but to miss,
they
especially
played well too.
USC in 2 weeks with the offense that they have, USC does, and seeing Travis Hunter go one-on-one, him on the other side, seeing how good that USC defense is and how he can impact the game against a legit national title contender, robbed. We're robbed.
We were, and Colorado can still win one of these games. I'll tell you, you know what my biggest takeaway was? All we do is talk about Shedeur Sanders, and with good reason. What about Deion's other son, Shiloh Sanders? He was awesome in the game up against Colorado State and should have had one interception, and then shortly after that picks off the football and takes it to the house. He was remarkable in the game up against Colorado State.
I mean, look, if they don't get that pick, who knows where this team is at the end of the game, and who knows if there's even overtime to be had or a 98-yard drive to be had that would have tied the game. So Shiloh really, especially, bailed out the offense. That was bad for, frankly, 55 minutes.
And Colorado's not going to be contending for a national championship this year, so the comparison I'm going to make is not apples to apples, but for what they're going to accomplish, and I do believe Colorado will be bowl eligible, but you look at Florida State over the weekend. Every team, and Florida State has national championship aspirations. Every team has a game that's closer than what it actually should be, and you can make the case that they could have lost it, but they end up winning it. The really good teams find a way to win games when they don't play their best. And you saw that this weekend with Florida State, who survived the scare with Jordan Travis with the injury, and then he came back in the game on his with his non-throwing shoulder. I think it was like an AC joint injury. And then for Colorado, yeah, they're going to lose games this year, but no one expected that game up against Colorado State to be as close as it was, where it's in double overtime. And a bad job by Jay Norvell, by the way, who did a really good job coaching. But you got to go for two after Colorado scores, then you score in the first overtime. Go for two there and go try to win the game. That was your best chance to go win the game. But you look at it now where Colorado is the biggest story in college football. Doesn't mean they're the best team, obviously, but they are the biggest story in college football through the first 3 weeks of the season. And now the fun really begins when they have Oregon and USC. And the poll question today at Zach Elbat, CBS Sports Radio: will Colorado beat either Oregon or USC? Just Oregon, just USC, both or no? No is leading the way, running away with it with 67% of the vote. Just Oregon's at 14%, both at 13%, and just USC is at 6%. What say you here, Hickey?
I am in the neither category. We'll lose to Oregon, we'll lose to USC, so I'm in the majority here.
If Travis Hunter was playing in one of these two games, or in both of these games, do you think they would have won one of these games?
No, I do not.
I don't think they're beating Oregon this weekend. Now, I did take a look at the spread. I already plussed the 21 points with Colorado. I think Oregon will probably win by 2 touchdowns. Dan Lanning, the coach of the Ducks, going to join us later in the week, and I believe it's Friday on Thursday, on CBS Sports Radio. So I'll have a conversation with him, talk a little bit about Bo Nix, his background, right? Dan Lanning was once coaching high school, then did have a nice rise and ascend through the ranks in college football, was at Georgia before taking the Oregon job a year ago, and we'll have a little chat with him. That defense is what concerns me. Like, Oregon and Washington, to me, are the two most well-rounded teams in the Pac-12. the way that I look at it. Now, when you have a really good defense like Oregon is capable of, I don't think that's a good matchup for Colorado. But the next week, and I went out and I predicted this last week, that I think Colorado is going to beat USC 41-38. Now, without Travis Hunter, I don't feel as great about it as I did a week ago. But they got some dogs at wide receiver. They have a heck of a running back. I just believe that's going to be a high-octane offensive game between USC and Colorado. And I kind of feel as if it's going to come down to who has the ball last. And Colorado being home, you know, it's kind of crazy to say, especially when a team had one win a year ago, Colorado has an actual home field advantage. Those fans on Saturday night were bonkers. And I know USC is a big brand. USC will travel well, you'd assume. You have Caleb Williams, who's a national star winning the Heisman. But with how many celebrities were there supporting Coach Prime, rooting on out for Colorado, that makes that building jumping. It really isn't. I've never seen something like this where a program goes from being that bad and makes one hire and three games into a tenure. Because sometimes it takes time to build up the process and to get people to believe. 3 years into a tenure, this thing has skyrocketed in favor of the Colorado Buffaloes. That atmosphere on Saturday night, just watching from TV, it's one of those games where you're like, wow, I wish I could be there. And it was up against Colorado State of all programs, too.
Yeah, getting The Rock, getting Lil Wayne to come to your college football stadium against Colorado State is something Offset. That we will probably never see again.
Yeah, even Kawhi Leonard was there. They got Kawhi Leonard in the offseason to come out of his home and go to a public event.
That's true. That's true. Very surprising.
So I'm going to say that they beat USC. I think they get one of these victories. Not both. And I will bank more on them beating USC than Oregon. So I'm in the minority here of 6% of the vote right now. Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Let me ask this question real quickly to Marco Belletti. And I know that it's always tough to win games in the NFL. But when you look at what your Giants did yesterday, where they were down big to one of the worst teams in the league in the Arizona Cardinals, you're all happy to get the victory. Everyone's happy to get a victory. But do you look back at that and say, yeah, it's great that they got the victory, but I'm still concerned about this football team because they were down that many points to the Arizona Cardinals?
I was concerned before the season. A lot of the problems that I had with the team manifested in the first six quarters. But in the NFL, their season was over with a loss. Over. And I'm not overstating it.
After 2 weeks?
Did you look at the schedule for the next 6 weeks?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was no way they were going to rebound from 0-2, which we assume would be 0-3 come Thursday when they lose to the 49ers.
Without Saquon now, too.
And then it spirals out of control. So they were able to salvage where they can still have a season and possibly rebound from a tough start. So what they did was to give themselves a chance. So as much as there's a lot of issues with that team, a lot. At the same time, you have to breathe that sigh of relief that the season is not over because they were a few minutes away from the entire season going right down the tubes and talking about a possible top five pick.
And I don't think it's ever good, clearly, when a player gets injured, but with how frustrated Saquon was on the sideline where he had to get helped off and he threw down the helmet for the early reports to say he's only going to miss 3 weeks, not great timing because you're going up against the 49ers, you need all hands on deck. But when I saw his reaction, I go, oh, that could be maybe half a season or a season injury for Saquon Barkley.
The second it happened, I said 4 to 6 weeks out loud to no one. That was basically what it was. Because, so in regard, look, you don't want to lose any player. No player wants to miss 3 weeks, especially as one as important as to the offense as Saquon Barkley is. However, it looks like they were able to avoid a disastrous situation. And again, it's not only the 49ers on Thursday. Then you come home Monday night and you got the Seahawks. Then you got the Dolphins and the Bills back to back. Like, there's no let up for the first 6-7 weeks of the season. What the Giants need to do, and this is where it comes into Brian Daboll and the rest of the staff and the guys that are going to be on the field, can you tread water and try to put yourself in a position where you can make some hay on the second part of the second half of the season where your schedule gets easier. Not easy.
Yeah.
The rest of your division's 2-0. Not easy. And you can't play with the Cowboys and the Eagles. Not easy. But easier. And right now the Giants, what they need to do is if they're 3-3 through six games, you're thrilled. Yeah. If you're 2-4, you can salvage it. Like, that's what they're looking at. And that was what they were looking at coming in. And it almost got to the point where you were looking at 1-5, 0-6. And if that's the case, again, now you're talking Do you tank and you wind up with Caleb Williams? I mean, that's really the conversation where was headed for the Giants before that rally in the second half.
Kenny Pickett just completed a 71-yard touchdown pass to George Pickens. Pickett got a little banged up on the play, did walk off after the touchdown. So that hits one leg of the parlay for me at plus 944. It's an anytime touchdown for George Pickens. Now I just need Chris Olave to get into the end zone. This is a 13-6 game between the Saints and the Panthers. So third quarter with 16 seconds left. Derek Carr, I know I haven't said so many nice things about you. It would be nice if you would go throw the ball to Chris Olave. It was five receptions for 77 yards in the game.
I was going to say, he's got 77 yards.
I mean, I know.
He's getting football.
Get him in the end zone.
Well, I think the whole point of both of these games is to get in the end zone because it doesn't feel like
no.
any of these teams are doing a really good job
this
of that right
1949
now.
Yes. Football, Marco.
Yeah, it's definitely – the Steelers, Browns especially, it's definitely been a throwback thus far.
We're in the Steel City and we're in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Which, by the way, I know that these Browns uniforms are supposed to be a throwback. Throw them in the garbage. What are we
Thank
doing?
Thank you.
What are we doing?
Thank you.
Can you have some semblance to your history? I mean, I
thought this was Auburn.
I thought it was Auburn. That's what I said in the newsroom. What are we doing?
I had this conversation with Ack.
Oh,
Hickey,
brutal.
Hickey goes, natural contrarian, of course, according to his bio on the Hick at Night, very popular podcast page on CBSSportsRadio.com. He goes, oh, I love these jerseys for Auburn. I mean,
for
the Browns. And I go, I thought they were Auburn for a second.
Again, why? Because it's white on white. You just like the clean part of the uniform.
Absolutely. Looks very clean.
Yeah, I love those stripes on the side, too. Go ahead.
Here's the tremendous. You don't like them?
Awful. Awful.
Jeez, get your eyes fixed.
Awful.
This is a good look right here.
It really isn't. Because when you tune into a game, if they didn't have the team's names up there, you should be able to tell who they are. I have no clue
and that's
who the Browns are tonight.
Something that I normally have an issue with the NBA. Like, I don't care how many alternate uniforms you have.
Yeah.
But when I turn on a game, I shouldn't spend 5 minutes going, who is that? And then when I figure out the two teams that are playing, going, all right, now who's who? Yeah. That's a problem. You should know who's on the field. You should know who's on the court.
Who would have known that Marco Belletti, who
and
just-
I'll be...
Does
I'm
not
fair.
Always dress up the best would be Mr. Fashion tonight.
I was going to say, I'm not exactly the interior decorator of the NFL. I'm not the guy that usually gets nuts about, oh, look at this and look at that. Like, I really don't care. I'm more of the traditionalist, like, very clean. I don't. All these stripes make me crazy. But what the hell is that? Like, you have to look like the Browns. That doesn't look anything like the Browns. That's my issue with it. That's the problem. You can't just be white on white because you want, oh, I like white. Well, no. You know, all these teams, too, back in the day, like, oh, we're going to put black in the uniform. Why? Like, what? Because you just like black? I mean, I love black. You can't just put on black jerseys. It doesn't work.
Yeah, I was going to say, all you do is wear black t-shirts.
But you got to have something in your uniform. You can't just, you know, pick and choose what you want. It doesn't work like that. That's why it's called a uniform.
What's up, everybody? I'm Danny Parkins, based out of Chicago. This is my buddy Andrew Filippone. He's based out of Pittsburgh. You really got to check out our podcast, First and Pod.
Twice a week, we're going to break down the NFL after Thursday Night Football and Sunday Night Football. It's every team. It's every game. It's all 32 teams. We give you a complete picture, and we get into it. We don't kiss each other's fannies on this show.
New episodes of First and Pod available when you wake up every Monday and Friday morning throughout the football season in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You will fail. So what? Everybody does. But your gym, your watch, your yoga pants, they pretend you won't. So when you miss a day, eat the pancakes. Give up on a workout? You failed? Seriously, what the hell? We're BODi. We've been a part of that too, but not anymore. At BODi, we're rejecting perfection and embracing reality. Not in a Pizza Monday kind of way, in a loving your whole life kind of way. In a, this workout is fun, and it's okay if I take a week off kind of way. In an, I'm eating healthy, and it's okay if I indulge kind of way. In a, I like myself no matter what kind of way. Yeah, you will fail. We all will. But we're not gonna let that be the end. You see that? We're already making progress. So let's keep going. We are BODi. Start your free trial at BODi.com. That's BODi.com.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on The Zach Gelb Show.
Stream the NFL on
West of One for free, sponsored by AutoZone all season long. You can listen to every West of One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on the Odyssey app. Get in the zone, AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Restrictions apply. Let's listen up. Missouri 3-0 with a big win up against Chris Klieman's Kansas State squad. Here's a game-winning 61-yard field goal. Mike Kelly, Learfield, IMG College.
Good snap, good place. Kick is up. It is...
Yes!
Oh, a walk-off winner from 61! Harrison Meavis sends the Mizzou students running onto the turf as Missouri wins it on a 61-yard field goal by Harrison Meavis.
And they say you can't trust college kickers, but I could trust Harrison Meavis. Give him a stock up. Let's do a little Louisville football here, why don't we? How about a fourth and goal stop at the one to maintain a 21-14 lead late in the fourth quarter? Here's Connor Onion on the Big Ten Network.
Jackson on the give, and Henderson does not get there. Louisville with a goal line stand to stay in front.
Louisville takes care of Indiana. Louisville is also 3-0 on the season. Give them a stock up. All righty, let's get to the NFL gridiron. For the last 2 years, I've been bitching about how the Bills asked Josh Allen to do too much. Well, on Sunday against the Raiders, they said, we're only going to run Josh Allen 3 times. And we're going to hand the ball off to James Cook 17 times, and they got 123 yards. Small step, but a big step for the Bills. We'll see if they're going to be able to continue to do that, but give the Buffalo Bills play calling a stock up. Through the first 2 weeks of the season, I would say, Hickey, there's 3 Coach of the Year candidates that are obvious. Mike McDaniel with the Miami Dolphins, they're 2-0. Arthur Smith at the Atlanta Falcons. And then how about this name? Todd Bowles with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't think you could argue those three. Is there anyone else you could throw into the conversation, Hickey, real quickly?
Right now, no. No. Ron Rivera put in there, 2-0. So far looking good.
Offense week one was revamped. Against the Cardinals.
And they won, and you came back from 21-3 in Denver.
Yeah, I love Ron Rivera, but I'm not ready to go there with Coach of the Year. But give a stock up to Arthur Smith and Todd Bowles. Also give a stock up to Tyler Lockett. He continues to be one of the more underrated wide receivers in football. He's been around for a long time. 8 catches, 59 yards, 2 touchdowns, had the game-winning 6-yard touchdown snag to secure a Seahawks victory. Give Tyler Lockett a stock up. Let's hear from Matt Campbell. We're going to play you some audio first. This is from November 16, 2021, when he was asked about the goal of making the Big 12 title game, which they did not make that year.
How do you as a coach view goals? Because at the beginning of the season, you, your players, the goal was Big 12 championship.
Oh, not me. That was never my goal. Okay. My goal has always been one thing, and that's to become the best version of ourselves we can become. So you've never heard me say that word once. You've only heard me talk about becoming the best version of yourself you can be. And really, my challenge for this year's team was to become the greatest together team in the history of Iowa State football. And so far, all of our goals are still intact from a Coach Campbell standpoint. Now, could our players have other goals and aspirations? Sure. Do I want them to have great goals and aspirations? Sure. But that's not Coach Campbell's goal. That was never said by me.
I went off when he said that in 2021. And I said, I'm totally out on Matt Campbell. Multiple reasons. He's speaking in the third person there. Big red flag. But to not embrace the goal of winning the Big 12 or getting to the Big 12 championship game is laughable. And also the other thing here, Hickey, you said the goal was to be the most togetherness team in the country, I think is what he said, if that even makes sense. How are you the team that's the most together if that team was not playing together and not winning enough games that year? Ever since those comments, Matt Campbell as a head coach is 6-12. And over the weekend, he got into it, a little kerfuffle with the fan that was saying he was on the hot seat. And, oh yeah, by the way, he lost to Ohio 10-7. Now, there was a very questionable field goal that was ruled no good in that game that I thought it was good. But still, Matt Campbell, his only win this year is up against Northern Iowa. Woof. Stock down to Matt Campbell. Mark Jones had an awful broadcast on Saturday night. Awesome scene, Colorado, Colorado State. But here's the final call, courtesy of ESPN.
Nicolosi steps up into the end zone, in a crowd. No good. Picked off by Woods, and it's over. Buffaloes win it. Do you believe now?
So scripted, Mark Jones, and that's my biggest problem with him. Do you believe now? They were a 24-point favorite, and they won the game in double overtime. Mark, what are we doing there? And also, how do you not bring up Jay Norvell in the first overtime and not even the idea of going for two? And whoever the sideline reporter was, another fool, he was like, oh, Jay Norvell was just giving a message to his team when he was going after Coach Prime for the sunglasses and the hat. Who buys that? I love the Colorado story, but please, less of Mark Jones. Horrible broadcast on ESPN. Lewis Riddick was good, but Mark Jones is awful. Give him a stock down. And finally, Sean McVay. Now, I didn't lose money because it was a push, but I should have won my bet of the San Francisco 49ers laying 7. It's a 10-point game, final play of the game, and you kick a field goal? Huh? Yeah, I didn't get that one. Maybe Sean McVay had some cash on the game. Stock down to Coach McVay.
You idiot! Get back in there at once and sell!
And that's the Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks to my producer extraordinaire, Hot Take Hickey, Nick Costas, for joining us, all of you for listening and tweeting to the show. You can follow me and calling as well. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. Tomorrow, big guest list, DJ Ungalale will join us. Levante David and Sean Merriman will also be stopping by in studio. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
As easy as pie?
Sure. All you have to do is enter your license plate or VIN.
As easy as a stroll in the park.
Okay, then just answer a few questions and you'll get a real offer in seconds.
As easy as singing.
Why not? Schedule a pickup or drop off and Carvana will pay you that amount right on the spot.
As easy as playing guitar.
Actually, I find that kind of difficult. But selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
Can be.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get an instant offer today.